Ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode, we explore, expand, and evolve our understanding of the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity and exponential growth. And now welcome your hosts, Dr. Jeffrey Smith and Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another amazing Adventures in Truth Podcast with my good friend and amazing human being, Dr. Jeffrey Smith. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Jim. How are you, my friend?
Great. Good to see you again. We've had a little hiatus for a couple weeks between our schedules and lots of goings on, which is really always very exciting. But it never dulls the amazing unfolding that seems to continue in both of our lives and both of our experiences as we continue each day of our lives to engage that connection and that alignment that we talk about so regularly in finding, the quote unquote path, or to walk the path, or to whatever that is. And, as you know, that my adventure here in Colorado has been extraordinary and love being here. Have been observing a lot of things as far as just the incredible unfolding of things. I'll use the reference of we recently got a dog a couple weeks ago. And when I think about all of the things that had to happen for that dog to show up in my life, it literally almost brings me to my knees, because this, and I'm going to detail it because it's so significant to me. So this dog is 9 months old. This dog was born and raised in a facility. What do we call those?
A rescue?
Yeah, rescue. But he was in a kill shelter, and he was in Houston, and he was moved from Houston. And the shelter that I went to, Charlie's place up in Gilpin County, it's up in the mountains. And he had been at their facility since July, and we got him 2 weeks ago. So the reason the story is so important is or insignificant is because 3 weeks, no, it was almost a month before we went up to the facility when we met our dog Tucker for the first time. He was on television. We were watching the news, the weekly local news, and they do a segment on the local news around the weather where they bring in animals from different shelters so people can see them. And they always bring these cute animals so that people can get into them and want to go get a dog or whatever. So this dog Tucker was on the news. And I remember distinctly because I thought to myself, that's a really cute dog, but one, we're not ready. And two, that dog will be gone in a minute. I mean, the dog is really cute. I'm not going to waste my energy on this. But what I got was the information for this place called Charlie's Place, which was this shelter that we didn't know existed that was in the mountains, which for me was really exciting because I thought I just made a connection that said, if this place is up in the mountains, the dogs will be hardier. They're going to be more mountain driven dogs. Somehow they're going to be used to nature more so than the city dogs that don't have any real impact. So that was exciting to me because that's part of the whole thing. I really wanted a dog. I don't want a legged cushion. I want a dog. You know what I mean? And so we have for over a year have talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. So this dog shows up on TV. I open on my browser and I go onto my browser and open the page for that dog place. I don't know why the word escapes me, but anyway. So I had it in my phone, opened on my browser, and I just leave it there. And I do that periodically if there's something I want to remember, but I don't know when or if I'm going to get to it. I'll leave it there so that every time I go in, I'll go, oh, am I ready for that yet? No, not yet. Okay, let it go. Or I'll go, okay, that's long past and I'm done with it, move on. So it had been sitting on my phone for 3 weeks to a month. And finally, Michael and I were able to go up to the facility, which we hadn't been able to do together. So we went up, amazing facility, beautiful facility, amazing dogs. And there was this dog, Tucker, who'd been in that facility since July. He went on TV, only got one call. Somebody actually came and got him at one point and brought him back. Okay. So this gets, I mean, it just keeps, the layers keep adding in. So we were there on a Saturday, I think, or a, I think it was a Saturday, Saturday or Sunday. We went in, I believe it was Labor Day weekend, actually, if I'm remembering correctly. So we went in, we met him, we hung out with him for 25 minutes. And we did the paperwork, and they closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. So we weren't going to be able to find out anything until Wednesday. So like 4 days go by, we call, they say, oh yeah, you know, you can have the dog. That's great. So we go back up. And when they bring the dog out, the dog lost its mind when he saw us. I mean, like the recognition was instantaneous and unbelievable, because he came out the door, looked at both of us, got so excited, came over and jumped up on me and went over to Michael. And it was just this sense of, he'd been waiting for us to come back. And we did. And he was like losing his mind. Like, you really came back. Oh my gosh. And it's been like that ever since. It's been this unbelievable unfolding. He's 2 weeks with us. He's 9 months old. He's been living in this facility his whole life. He's 95% kennel trained already. He sits, he lays down, he's had two accidents in the house in the entire time he's been here. And just the bonding, watching Michael and him bond is just extraordinary. Michael was imprinting with the dog the first time he met him. And I went, oh crap, okay. This is the dog. Because from that moment forward, he ate, slept, everything he did was, every other word was Tucker. Every other word was this dog. And I laughed at him driving home, because I said, this is insane. You started imprinting with that dog the minute you met him. I watched you do it and I watched him engage you. And it's been that way ever since. So it's been remarkable. So anyway, so the reason for that story was just that, to me, in the way I see the world, is the most extraordinary piece of magic that could possibly unfold. And those happen all the time. It's not like, you know, I only get one of those every now and again. But when they show up in that fashion, in a way that you can see every single moving part, and this is what's so moving to me and so emotional, is that, you know, all along, as you go through this journey and as you go through this process of growth and expansion and opening consciousness and all of that stuff, and you read the good books about the experiences, and they talk about how you get to, over time, as you release your resistance, as you fully engage, you begin to see more clearly the machinations of how energy works and how the universe unfolds. And so when you have an experience like this and you can see all of the parts that had to happen for that particular animal to show up in our lives at that time, in this moment, and it being so right, that you can't help but be so unbelievably humbled by the process. You just go, what the fuck? How does, like, I can't coordinate. I mean, I'm a pretty, you know, pretty facile guy, but that's a lot of moving parts. So, yeah.
I like the part about how somebody else got him and brought him back.
Yeah, even somebody else. And the thing is, we keep scratching our heads trying to figure out, what could they possibly have brought this dog back for? I mean, when he's home, he loves being home. He has his little places that he likes to hang out, and he doesn't bark a lot. He's not like a crazy dog, but he's communicative. So if he needs to go out, he comes and tells us, you know. And for me in particular, you know, I might be hanging out, and I'll see the change in his behavior. And then he'll come over and look me square in the eyes like, did I make my point? Are we ready? Can I go now? Can we know? And then the next thing you know, we take him outside and he's doing his business and the world is good. So that was a segue and a side channel just to kind of talk about the way thing that I see things unfolding. And so what this is moving toward is then, so in my own personal process, you know, as I've watched this unfold for Michael and myself, and I am still kind of feeling like I'm kind of stuck in the duality experience, where I'm getting to see these incredible things unfold, and at the same time I'm having this battle with my ego. And it's not so much a battle. Well, maybe it is a battle. I don't want to make it a battle. I just want it to be, I want it to settle. But feeling like I'm in that crux where you see both sides at the same time, and maybe not in the same moment, but the clarity of one being a fully egoic experience and one being a fully spiritual experience is very disconcerting, but also pretty remarkable. And it seems odd to be stuck there. It seems like you should be in one place or the other, you know, like the whole point of all of this is to sort of shift out of that egoic centric sort of process. And it seems like, it seemed to me like that wasn't shifting. So, many moons ago, we talked about, I'd gone to Peru and worked with a shaman in Peru, back in 3 years ago. And, amazing, amazing man who I felt was really, really connected and dialed in and always seemed to have good answers, like really meaty, good answers from my perspective. And so, I got a hit a few days ago that I should send him a note and just kind of describe what's going on and say, you know, I know it's been 3 years, but here's what's going on. And this is where I'm at. And, you know, talking about that, being in that space of the stuck in the duality. And so I sent him this really great, you know, descriptive process. And he responded to me in a way that really impacted me, because his response not only spoke directly to what I was experiencing, but it was what I was experiencing, not his version of what I was experiencing, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So his response, he says to me, you know, after all these years, I've understood that life isn't all that complicated. It doesn't make many demands upon us. And the goal of human existence isn't in the achieving or even development of any particular state or condition. It's true to say there are things we need to do, but they're usually far from the aims and goals of society at large. And our own self-set goals, once we've achieved those aims, everything else kind of takes care of itself, or at least we don't worry so much about them. We need to master the mind through allowing it to return to its own source as a place of deep rest. We need to open the heart and learn how to extend love continuously and unconditionally. So I'm going to stop there for a second, because as I'm reading this, I'm starting to see this. I'm seeing why the duality is there, because I'm engendering it with my thought process. I'm engendering it with my attention to what I think is a lack. And so it's causing that weight to just sit there, and it just sits there because I keep attending to it instead of turning away from it and going, enough already. So the other part of it that was mind blowing to me is that in my meditations, this started about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And this may sound odd, but it's not, I think I've talked enough and you guys are all kind of got a sense of who I am and what I'm about, that I don't tend to get into a lot of woo-woo. I want stuff to be practical, but I also don't mind that things are incredibly spiritual and amazing. But in the meditation, I felt this prompt one day as I'm doing my breath work, and the thought was, now just exude love. Don't do anything else. Stay in the breath and just see your field just emanating nothing but love. Just be in that space and breathe and breathe and breathe. And so I've been doing that in my meditation organically as a part of my own process. And here, Paul, who has not been a part of my day-to-day life in 3 years, is talking about finding that space of unconditional love and building that energy of love in your field. So I thought that was really awesome. So we need to open the heart, learn how to extend love continuously and unconditionally. We need to learn the nature of reality, that all is consciousness, and via all these, learn the art of dying. Because I was also sharing with him that there's still this prevalent energy about death that just shows up in my world constantly. And I don't quite get it, but I'm like, okay, maybe something needs to die. Something wants to die. Maybe I'm dying. I don't know what the hell's going on, but it's important because it's there and it's present and I'm attending to it, but I'm not really sure what to do with it. So beyond this, the universe doesn't require anything from you. Not to say you can't have aims and intentions, just that they are secondary to these primary and necessary human endeavors. So he said, I would say as such, having a quote lack of direction isn't particularly worrisome as long as you're making strides in the areas of what he referenced above. You're still achieving the point of being human. It may be good to rest in that sense of directionless falling. There isn't really a ground anywhere, and sometimes it's okay to let go of the need to achieve or become. But for self-satisfaction and peace, we do need to be exploring, learning, growing, creating, and transforming. You can do in one or multiple areas, but as long as you have these in at least some area of your life, you'll begin to feel good. So it's pretty interesting and pretty powerful. And it's not something I haven't heard before, but somehow the way he put the words together really brought that profound sense of clarity about how, and I'm sure we all have a version of it, but how at this juncture in my life, I'm still looking for, I'm using the need to be something I hate the word punishment, but it's not really a punishment. It's an abuse of type in the sense that I'm not using it as a gateway to go somewhere. I'm using it as a gateway to say, see, you're not being anything. So you need to be something. What are you going to be? What do you want to do when you grow up? How do you want to get out in the world? And what I heard for apparently this time or the first time was I don't have to be anything. I just get to be me. And out of that, things will show up that I can attend to and be a part of and engage with and want to engage with. And just very similar to the stuff we were talking about before we went on air, you know, that you're encountering. Stuff shows up because your energy is there. Your vibration is there. And I have plenty of stuff stuff that I'm attending to. And I'm not sure if I brought this to a place of conversation yet. So you got to help me here because I've been talking for a while. So I'm gonna pause there for a minute, catch my breath.
Well, it certainly is something I encounter on a weekly basis for sure, with zero exaggeration, the idea of somebody seeking counsel regarding what is my purpose. Kind of reminds me of Steve Martin's movie The Jerk, where he wrote home to tell everybody in the family, I found my special purpose. And that was a little tongue-in-cheek joke there. But even that in...
And you're dating yourself, but we won't go there.
So this is a common theme that many, many, many... I think it's a phase thing. And maybe we journey around that. Off the top of my head, I don't know, once a decade, maybe we take a look at our path and what's left of our path. And we're wondering how much of it about this is just my own healing. I shouldn't say just, but how much of my path is really primarily my own healing, clearing karma, learning lessons of love. Like, you know, that alone is certainly worth a lifetime right there. And then how much do we want to add to it that would also include service to others in some greater capacity than, and leaving a legacy. Mm-hmm. I think we visit that periodically. This is very, very common. So it does not surprise me that here we are talking about this.
Yeah. And I turned 55 on August 17th. So that was another, I still don't know what to do with the five number yet. I'm still that's still a kind of an adjustment. Oh my goodness. But yeah, it I like what you said and the way you laid it out, because that was really the end result of this for me, was recognizing I don't have to do anything, and I'm doing everything I can do from where I am with what I have. You know, meaning I'm engaged. I'm willing to show up for the dog, and the dog was willing to show up for us. You know, I'm willing to do the steps that I need to do, left foot, right foot, to complete the process my friend, you know, Scott gave to me as an opportunity, you know, to complete this estate. That's a lot of stuff, and it's a lot of energy, and it's a, you know, and, but in the end, I think I kept trying to push for a direction instead of allowing the direction to show up. And that has been more and more the message, and more for me, the clarity is, you know, as this estate closes and things are going to change for us a little bit, thinking about that and catching myself trying to map it out rather than just letting it be. You know, we have ideas, we have things, you know, we have some thoughts about what could work, you know, and do we want to buy a house, and kind of laying that out there and saying that feels really good. Let's see what unfolds. Let's see where this takes us. Because as long as we're connected, it seems like it doesn't matter. Stuff just shows up. I mean, again, we're going to reference your examples, which you haven't talked about, but they're know that we've talked about them, and they're really cool. And there are things that just kind of showed up because your energy was ready, your vibration was there, and that's what happens. And so it's all about the beingness and letting the beingness guide the doingness, if that makes sense. You know, I think we talked about this many moons ago, the be do have process.
Right.
You know, same, it's a perfect stuff you're talking about. What I'm talking about is all about cultivate the beingness, get into the space of who you are and what you're about, and start to connect to the magic that is going on every second around us, and let stuff show up that's going to surprise and delight you, that's going to engage you in a way that you could never imagine for yourself, because it's so ridiculously satisfying. You know, I keep harping on this dog. Everything about this dog is ridiculously satisfying. His lines, his feet, his ears, his face, the way he looks, it's just ridiculous, because it's so satisfying to just look at him. Because he satisfies something deeply. It's like a little piece of magic that goes, wow, this is really cool. Now that may be true for some, you know, pet owners may already have that experience. I'm trying to put it in a different context, because I've had pets before and I'm always pretty good with animals and I have a good relationship, but my awareness of this was so profound to me. And then just seeing this incredible being showing up in our space who gets us, you know, and we get him, and it's really cool. And I could go on about that for a long time.
Right.
Not right. Gushing about the dog. I mean, gushing about the, all of it.
Right. Somewhere in one of the books I'm reading right now on the Bhagavad Gita, that talks about if you did no thing with your life, you've actually done something quite significant just by being here on the planet and being you. And we, that means nothing to most people in the Western Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. It probably means very little to most people on the planet, because we don't get it, that we're a part of the whole. And this part that's talking right now needed to be here to do this part, whatever this part is, seemingly significant, seemingly insignificant. It still is an energy that needed to be here as a contribution. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about I don't know why, but the flock of butterflies is coming to mind right now. And to the best of my knowledge, there's probably not a social media that butterflies involve themselves with. And who gets the most likes. And I don't think that they're in any kind of competition for notoriety or fame. I could be wrong, but we're just not aware of anything like that, right?
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they have organization at a leadership level or not. There may be one butterfly that's at the head of the swarm that is the leader. I don't know. I don't know if they take turns. I don't know how that works. But within the animal kingdom, in some social, what would seem herd, flock, group pieces, there really isn't a designated leader. There's nobody that's striving to be president. There's nobody that's striving to stand out and look at me, look at me. But there is such thing as like an alpha male wolf or an alpha wolf, and there's even the alpha female. So in some regard, and I don't know if that's more of a predatory, within a predatory species, you'll find that there is a one who wants to be on top, top dog, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't know if cows have that. I would venture to say there's a bull that's going to be the one that's in charge of breeding most of the heifers and pushes the others away.
Hippopotamuses too.
Yeah.
I just 2 days ago saw a nature show.
Yeah.
About hippopotamus versus crocodile.
Oh, wow.
And crocodiles actually have the same. There's an alpha in those groups.
Uh-huh.
But so yeah, it exists in a lot of places.
But it seems like within the human species, there's more of a drive for recognition or notoriety or fame. We all want our 15 minutes of fame or something. There's something like that, hey, I'm here, look at me. It's part of us. Would we just call that the ego part of us? You know, doggone it, I was brave enough to incarnate and come to this planet and go through all of this seemingly hardship of trying to figure out who I am, why I'm here, where we are, where we're going. I mean, it's a lot to figure out that probably the butterfly isn't really that concerned about. I don't know. I'm not a butterfly in this incarnation, but the point I was trying to make is it is significant simply to be here.
Yeah.
That being here is part of our own soul level healing, that having this experience is important, not just at the individual level, but also at the familial level and also at the larger community level and at the global level, that this was an important piece of the puzzle that needed to be experienced for the whole, for the one. I was thinking about how birds in like starlings fly together and they make these amazing patterns as they're flying through the sky. And the same thing with swarms or schools of fish. Somehow there's a collective directional, this is what we're doing, and it gets passed to the whole school or the whole flock of birds all at the same time. They all know to turn left, or some know to turn left and some turn right, and they make these amazing swirly things, and they're not smacking into each other and birds falling out of the sky.
Right.
Well, we don't do that very well. We don't dance very well together in groups. It looks more like a mosh pit when we dance as people.
Unless it's organized and structured and trained, and yeah.
I'm thinking about the difference between line dancing and mosh pitting.
Yeah.
Neither of which I'm drawn to. That's why I'm laughing. Because I can't dance. That's neither here nor there. But isn't it interesting that as a higher organization, as a higher being, if it is higher, who knows, we can't do what birds do and we can't do what fish do because of our thoughts of where do we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? What am I supposed to be doing?
We actually could if we were just being.
Yeah, I yes.
If we were present in the moment all the time and just being, we could absolutely have that energy. But
right. You know. And if we were also willing to be aware of what's going on with you and what's going on with Tucker and what's going on with Michael, what's going on with Azine, you know, if we're having this big concern about not only do I want to be aware of me and how what's going on here, but also it's just as important, if not even more so, how is the whole group doing right now? And we're not doing that. We just want likes. Who has, this is an interesting thought. Are there Twitter groups? Are there Facebook groups where the whole group is getting likes? I guess in some regard there are. There's organizations that are getting likes on Facebook. But not
I think,
really.
I think it's a follow thing.
Yeah. Well, it's, so in some regard, like a nonprofit could have a Facebook page and they're getting followed or they're getting likes. But I'm just thinking, like, with as much popularity as there is in social media, they aren't friend pods. They aren't friend groups that are getting likes or getting followed. It's largely just at the individual level. And it's almost like you can't get enough of that. And people are trying to obtain something that is not obtainable from that form of trying to connect. And look at me, look at me, look at what I'm doing. Look at this amazing meal I took a picture of and I'm posting it. So everybody, what, can be envious that I got to eat this amazing meal? I don't understand what that is, but I know it's a thing and it's very popular. And I don't think fish are thinking that way. I don't think birds, when they're flying around, are wanting to stand out in some way. Hey, look at the three seeds I got to eat today. So we're still talking about purpose. What am I here for? What am I doing? So between something grand, that there isn't enough room for everybody to be Mother Teresa. The planet would not be able to support everybody here doing a job like that. Right. Somebody has to be the poor person that Mother Teresa is tending to, right? So that poor person is actually serving just as much of a function as Mother Teresa is, although she'll get all the attention.
Well, but even, I mean, I have to laugh because she creates her own reality. So the creation of the poor people are specific to her belief system, are specific to what her focus is. So in order for her to satisfy that focus, there have to be poor people.
Right.
Not saying that she creates poor people in the sense that it's because of her we have poor people. It's just that whole amazing thing of all the moving parts and things in the universe that are like, here is this particular being who carries a particular energy that has a desire for this compassion and the demonstration of this compassion. And so in order for that to be executed, there had to be a forum for it. And in her beingness created the forum for it. Does that make sense? So there's just by virtue of her being, because that's what she did. She beed. She just beed. I want to say something too, that I don't think I've ever said to you, that I think about frequently as far as impact and as far as creation. You know, we created this pretty awesome podcast, I think. And the thing for me about the podcast, while, you know, we've talked back and forth about, you know, is there a way to monetize and how do we move this into a level of success we feel comfortable with, and all the things that we're doing in an effort to, you know, see where this is going to evolve and what it's going to bring into the world. The thing that strikes me so powerfully is that we already have. We have 50 episodes of conversations that have never been had before. And those conversations are important and powerful and impactful. And they may not be for everybody, but I also recognize in my own structure that I'm not for everybody, because I have a certain perception and a certain ability to see things that there are many people who don't want to know what I see. There are many people that don't want to know what I can extract. But the people that want it find tremendous value in it, and I show up every time for that, just like you do for all of the, you know, all of who you engage with. But this idea that we have created this we've brought something into this reality that was not in this reality before. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty freaking amazing. And that we continue to be able to have these conversations and they get better and deeper and richer and more expansive and more powerful and more connecting we are emanating that energy. We are emanating that love for consciousness and the human connection and the connection of experience. We're doing that. It may not be providing the ego aspect right now, and it may never, who knows? The ego aspect of how do we make this work in the world so other people will do it and other people want to get into it and whatever that's going to evolve to. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, and I'm not intimating that that's in any way an issue. I'm just wanting to draw attention to the fact that creation in and of itself and bringing new thought, new idea, connecting things in ways that have never been connected before is a profound accomplishment, to your point. And maybe we don't see the benefit of that. And maybe 10 years from now, you know, there'll be all these people listening to this podcast going, wow, where did these people come from? We're not, but you know, I mean, I'm not, I hope that's not coming across as aggrandizing, because that's not where I'm going with it. But the point was just to illuminate what you already expressed, which is, you know, in the beingness, this came about. You know, we could extrapolate it back. We met 10 years ago. Was it 10 years ago? 10, 11, 9, 8, somewhere in there. 8, 9 years ago we met. And we met through the work I was doing. Mm-hmm. And then a year or so later, we met again through the work you were doing. And then 3 or 4 years later, out of nowhere comes Jeff with, hey, I want to do a podcast with you. I'm like, what? What could I possibly bring to a podcast with you that would be of any interest? And yet here we are. Because that movement, that beingness, that energy kind of has a life of its own. And there's a point, just like the dog, where you just, it doesn't matter what the personality believes. You can't say no, because it's the right thing to do, because it's the appropriate coming together of energies, and it has yes all over it. So even if the ego or the personality wants to be like, yeah, but the overwhelming experience is the rightness of it. And you can't, if you're dialed in and if you're tapped in and tuned in and you're focused and aligned, you can't walk away from that. I can't. I mean, I don't know if you can. I'd be curious your perspective on that. But when it feels that way, there is, it's the choiceless choice. It really is. It's and that's not a victim position by any stretch of the imagination, because I could still walk away.
Right.
I wouldn't.
Right.
Because it pushes too many, it connects too many dots.
What comes to mind that's tracking with this conversation are all the people that it takes in the village for the village to work. And they're to me, all equally important. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is going to be the village idiot, nor is everyone going to sit in the city council. But there needs to be a village idiot in order for the city council to have a project to do to take care of the village idiot, back to the Mother Teresa thing. And they're all equally important.
Yeah.
There will never be a time, most likely, I don't know, if you crack open the Bible, Jesus said in there somewhere, the poor shall always be among you. So if we take that at face value, it kind of tends to be true. It seems like there's value in learning, in being poor, to come here and have the experience to be poor. There's value in that in some way, or it wouldn't exist. Mm-hmm. If there wasn't some level of value for that, it wouldn't exist. So my driving concern right now in our conversation is not to be set on a path that if you're a woman, you want to become Kim Kardashian, and if you're a man, you want to be Kanye West, if I said that right. Please, please, that, no. No.
Well, you know, when you brought that up a little while ago, the thing that struck me, and I was trying to connect the dot there, was that I would almost venture to say that underlying that desire is more of the same, in that it's fear-driven, it's worthiness-driven.
Yeah.
It's all that, put it out there and let people see me, then I'll feel worthy. But it's just one more arena of discovery because I mean, how many people have and it's extraordinary to me to watch this, that the number of people, particularly say in the entertainment industry, people that have truly, pardon the expression, got religion, so to speak, who really get this, who really get this idea of community and get this idea of one world and get this idea of consciousness and the evolution of consciousness, they continue to do their work, but you notice they're absent of the, they're absent from the fluff and the attention and the constant being on the screen and the constant need to see me. There's a change that occurs when you really understand it that allows you to pull back from all that. And yeah, it's the job you do. It makes good money. I can jump into it and I can do it and I can have a good time doing it. And then when it's done, I'm back into the sphere of being. I'm not into, you know, and so you can see that whole panorama, because there's the ones that are hungry for all the attention and constantly seeking the attention, the two that you spoke of. Although, well, yeah, they are, they have a television show. So yeah, it's sort of every day, where there are others that I can think of that you don't hear much from, and yet they're still producing amazing things in the world, you know, and they're out there doing that because they found that connection. And now they're, they, the ability that the platform that they managed to create for themselves out of their success enables them to take it to the next level. And again, the confluence of events, the confluence of events were never necessarily about being a, being a successful actor. The confluence of events were, here's the stage that will allow you to get to that next place if you stay in your beingness and allow yourself to evolve into that space. And I think that's true for all of us, whether it's becoming a lawyer or becoming a doctor or becoming a nomad, you know, it's following those impulses that take me to the place to be available for the next thing. And that next thing informs my growth and my beingness to the next thing. And it just keeps evolving. So that's that whole idea of being on the journey and milking that journey and being so thoroughly engaged in the journey is so important, because that's where all the juice is. That's where all the satisfaction is. It's just, it continues to get more and more amazing.
Mm-hmm. What's coming to mind right now is the end of a, say the end of a Broadway play. And at the very end, when they, when the whole cast comes out to do the curtain call,
mm-hmm.
the whole cast comes out to take a bow. And when, you know, whether you're in the middle of that group of people, the lead dancer, the lead singer, whatever, or you're on the very ends, you're part of that cast.
Yeah.
And the whole cast is being applauded. I would like people to consider that we are the whole cast. And that by being here on the planet, we are being applauded by our ancestors, by the people who are coming after us, by our spirit guides, guardian angels, God, Jesus. We're being applauded because we came here. We wrote these screenplays. We're showing up. We're having these experiences. And just for being here, we get applauded. And it's not easy. It's not easy to be on a planet where we don't know about all the things, sea level rises, the climate change, the economy, terrorism, war on terror, corruption, illness, cancer, when's the next Mount Vesuvius going to happen? And Pompeii gets enveloped by, I mean, it's just like, you know, every once in a while, it seems like there's a reset button on the planet and civilizations disappear.
Yeah.
Planet X, aliens. I mean, all this stuff that is just known, unknown, fantasy, folklore. So we come here, we're having these really confusing lives, these experiences that, again, there's so little that's really known. On a podcast you and I did with Timothy 6 months or more ago, I came to the conclusion, I don't even know if truth exists.
Mm-hmm.
Any time you seem to arrive at it, there's another question that emerges that we don't have the answer to, or it's just temporary, or looks what depending upon what dimension you're in or what perspective you're looking at it through, or Are we talking physical, metaphysical, whatever else is, other ways there are of looking at things?
Yeah.
But nevertheless, the whole cast is important. And we are all a member of the cast. We're all in a play. Every one of us are in a play. Mm-hmm. And it's much more healthy for me to think of myself, I'm in the cast somewhere. And whether I'm the lead in the cast, or I'm right next to the curtain, or I'm even the guy opening the curtain and closing the curtain, it takes everybody to put on that play. And we're all important, and we're all getting applauded. That's the value. That's where the value shows up, that I do not have to be the lead singer, the lead dancer, for there to be meaning in my life. And how many shows have we seen where the number two hates the number one and plots against them and conspires against them, and finally the number one twists their ankle or breaks their leg, and the number two gets the job, and then they're a drug addict? Yeah. And they hate themselves because it never gives us what we think it's going to give us. It being the position, the title, the relationship, that role, that it's not
the
role.
Well, because the definition of it is something we've extracted from what we see in society, and not something that has come as an organic expression of who we are. So it becomes trying to wear somebody else's costume that's not cut to your body. It's not cut to shape, to fit you properly. So you put the thing on and you're trying to get into it, but it's not your costume and it's not your part. I'm always amazed as I, especially as I'm driving and I talk to people, especially college kids. It's always a powerful conversation to kind of get into talking about why they're doing what they're doing. They're in school to get a degree in something. Mm-hmm. Great. How do you like that field? Well, I like it. But it's very rarely a case of, this is who I am. I'm here because this is who I am. And so I would venture to say, at least from what I've seen, maybe 75, 80% of people that go through the higher education process and get a degree don't use it. They're not working in the field. They don't work in the field they chose, because by the time they get there, they don't like the field they chose or the field that they become disillusioned or whatever it is. Because again, you're trying to wear somebody else's costume, and you can't, using the play analogy, if you're in the Man of La Mancha, you can't wear Dulcinea's outfit and pretend to be the Man of La Mancha. It's not going to happen. It's going to look pretty stupid. So, and it's going to be ridiculously unsatisfying, because it's just not going to work. So it's more and more, encouraging that find the beat of your drum. What is the thing that, what is that stuff? And that's really the hard part. Going through the homogenization process of growing up and going to school and going to high school and going to college and getting a degree and then blah, 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 is the easy way from my perspective, because you're not digging into anything about who you are. You're not digging into what's going on here. You're still dealing with all of this. Again, not saying that's universal, but I think it's pretty consistent. And nothing against the education process. Just make sure, I just encourage people and think it's important to make sure that the step you're taking is the step that enhances you, not somebody else.
Right.
Not the person you're trying to please or the person you think wants, but whatever all that is. Choose it because it's what enhances and expands who you are.
Sure. Yeah. I'd like to introduce a new, not necessarily a new topic, but an amplifier, if you will.
Right on.
Something that will amplify this topic we're on of living purpose, living in purpose. When we use words like you just did of finding it, it implies that it's over there somewhere, and I got to work toward it. and there's these things I need to do to be able to get on the cast. You know, I got to take an acting class. I got to get to know the director. It's like, I can't do that yet. I'm not qualified to have purpose yet because I'm not in it. I'm not in the play. Well, what I'm trying to say first off is, hey, we're all in the play right now. You are, if you're listening to this podcast, you are in the play.
Well, you're in your play, and you've been there since the beginning.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And the play that you think you want to be in, that's going to really rock your world, I promise you will not rock your world unless you're willing to have your world rocked right now, in this play you're in right now. The universe will not open it up and will not let you have it until you're willing to have it right now, where you are right now, in this moment, listening to this podcast right now, in this moment. If you're waiting for the next class, the next lover, the next whatever, the future this, or if you're waiting for something to be removed, like cancer, if you're waiting for something to not show up, a lawsuit, you know, like, oh, it's not, I don't want anything better in my life. I just want these things that are not good in my life to go away. Either way, it won't work. Either way, God or the universe will not honor that request to finally give you happiness, to eventually let you be content and purpose-filled, if you're not willing to feel it right now in this moment.
Yep.
So if we get that, go ahead.
No, please. Finish your thought. Sorry. Didn't mean to step on you.
So if we use that as an addendum, or to sync up with, we're in the play, all of us are here to have this experience as though we mattered. We did something, therefore I mattered. And my point is, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing right now, you do matter, you do have purpose, and you can feel all the bliss you'll ever feel in your entire life right now, if you're willing to feel it right now and not make it conditional on where I have to go or what I have to be or how many likes I get or don't get.
Was it our podcast that we talked about, we are purpose? That was us, wasn't it? Wasn't that our conversation that epiphany that I had, that our very existence is purpose?
Yes. Yes.
There's a couple pieces. What you said is absolutely brilliant and absolutely perfect for this conversation. I would add a little clarification in that you were speaking about God or the universe or whatever won't let you have it. The funny part of that is that you are God in the universe,
yes,
not letting
absolutely.
Yourself have it.
I agree completely.
And I know you know that, and I know you believe that. I just wanted to say it for the listeners to say, guys, we're not saying God in the universe are somewhere out there holding you back.
Right.
You are all the players. You are all of it. So it comes back to that whole vibrational experience. It comes back to, what do you resonate with? Do you spin your energy up to get to where you want to be, or are you constantly spinning your energy down, feeling like you can't, you don't, you won't, you're not good enough, you're not enough, you got to take that next class, you got to do that next thing? None of those things are inappropriate. The challenge is in recognizing you are creating that reality. So if that evolution for you is really organically about you, then those classes show up, you do them. They enhance you. They bring you to another space of experience and vibration, and that brings on new experiences because your vibration changed. And I'm saying that with a period on the end of it very distinctly, because your vibration changed. No other reason, no other excuse, nobody else pulling strings. You either created the vibration, you changed your vibration, or it's the same. That's it. And when you do one of any of them, they have an impact. And that impact is what you show up, what you see in your world. The impact of that is what shows up and evidences itself in your life. So there.
Wow.
I don't know who that was to. It was just it just sounded like that belonged there right there at that moment. Maybe just to break the intensity a bit, because I was my focus and intensity were zeroing, like, oh, okay. Put a little lightness in there. But it's remarkable. Again, more and more, all of the layers and the colors and the experiences and the textures, and it's all amazing and it's all incredible, and it gets more and more incredible. But it gets incredible because the facilities that you're using to engage those things are becoming more fine-tuned because of the changes in your vibration. Not any other reason. God didn't wake up and feel you were better today. You did, you know? And so getting to constantly every day, getting to experience that, and it's never perfect, you know? I mean, we're human beings having this human experience. So the contrast is absolutely important, because you either use it to drive into yourself, or you use it to run away from yourself. Those are really the choices that you have in any given situation. So the more you engage it and bring it in, so that it nourishes and causes this to grow and flourish, the more attuned you become, so that what you see and hear and smell and taste and touch becomes even more satisfying and agreeable and fabulous and crazy, because that's the lens through which your vibration now is taking it in.
Yeah. I'd like to tell a story for a moment.
Please.
When I was in Cancun several weeks ago, feels like months at this point, but it's actually only weeks, sitting in the hot tub with some family members, big, huge hot tub at this resort. And there was this 26-year-old woman who was bemoaning turning 27 and telling everybody how old she is now, like she's an old lady, oh my God, and that her life is behind her. And I said, well, that's interesting, wow, because I'm twice your age, and between 27 and 57, my life just got nothing but significantly better. And I only see that it's going to continue to get better and better and better as it goes, because I realize all the things that I thought were important at 27 actually meant nothing. And it's like, you don't even know yet at this point in your life what's important, what really matters. You're just seeing yourself getting older, no longer able to compete with the 21-year-olds to capture the attention of some guy that's probably not good for you to be with anyway, and isn't focused on having a family or, you know, being devoted or whatever you think is important right now. Right. You're simply recognizing, I can't keep doing that. And I'm in a state change. I'm in a phase change of my life right now. And I said, you'll look back at this point someday, realizing how amazing turning 27 was. And it's actually like all good. The whole play, every part of the play, the part that we're crying over, the joyfully crying, the part that we're, you know, grief stricken crying, it's all part of this play that we're doing, and it's all what makes it so rich. It's all good. And the other thing I was really, so anyways, I think my message fell on deaf ears, but it didn't fall on my deaf ears, because exactly, here I am talking about it again and getting to relive it. But I remember being like in elementary school, my thought was, I just want to be done with elementary school. And then getting into junior high, thinking, oh man, you know, 2 years at junior high, I just want to get into ninth grade. And then in ninth grade thinking, oh, wouldn't it be just amazing to be done with high school? I'll be done with school. I actually never had any intentions of ever stepping into another classroom when I was in high school, ever. Yeah. Little did I know that I had other plans for myself. But I look back, and then so, you know, going through high school and all the schooling I did in the military, it's all schooling. You're just in one school after the next, decades of it. And then just all the different experiences that I've had, I look back at them now with the focus at that time as all I wanted to do was get finished with it. And I thought that there'd be this big grand reward or award at the end of that journey, not realizing it was the damn journey that was the award or reward. And that, like, you know, looking back, people are telling me now that college is so hard and it's really difficult to work part-time and go to school full-time. I'm like, you have no idea how easy that is compared to what your life will be once you have a family and a full-time job. And, you know, I mean, you have no clue in terms of what's really difficult or really hard. You'll look back at college as going, oh my gosh, I wish I could do that again. It was so easy. It was the best time of my life.
Right.
But while you're in it, it feels burdensome and overwhelming. And how am I going to finish? And it's just like, just finish. Like what you say, left foot, right foot, but find the bliss. Yeah. It's back to that inspiration I had a little while ago of, if you are waiting for the joy to be at the end of whatever you're going through or working toward, you're going to be disappointed. It's here for you right now in this moment.
Yep.
I could go on and on and on about all these different experiences that I've had of looking back at them, realizing I missed the joy in the moment because I was so focused on finishing or waiting until the end, or thinking that if I put this together and this together with that at this time, then there'll be this new thing. And I missed out on so much because I was destination focused rather than journey focused, and thinking that it all had to add up to something rather than it already is. Yeah. There's bliss here right now.
Michael and I want to share a quick story about another the sort of magical things in line with the idea of the perspective. It's happening right now. You know, we now have a much more freedom than we've had because of the change in Michael's circumstance. So we have a lot more flexibility, and he's now learning how to live in that experience of freedom. And so we had gone up to a place called Black Hawk, which is where it's a fabulous little mountain village town that's casinos. And we love going up there occasionally. And we went up, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, we were having dinner, and the guy having dinner with us told us about a thing that happens on Wednesdays with senior day at the buffet, you know, 'cause they have crab legs and lobster and all that kind of stuff. And it's wonderful. So that if you come on Wednesday though, you get this huge discount and it's really awesome. And so we talked about it and we decided we were going to go up. So we just kind of leisurely take off and we're heading up through Golden and, you know, just enjoying the drive. And we stop at the store and we picked up some stuff. I spent maybe 60 or 80 bucks at the store and went on up to the casino and went into the casino, played for a little bit, and then went to dinner and got our we were laughing because we went to senior day at the casino. We went to the casino for senior day to have the buffet. I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me right now? You know? But what ended up happening, we had this amazing dinner, you know, crab legs and all that good stuff. And it was just fabulous. And then we went down and decided to play a little bit. And we had each taken $100 out that, you know, to kind of used for our time to play around and have dinner. And at the point that we were finished, so not only did we get to do all that, which was absolutely fabulous, but the casino paid us to do that. So that in the end, it cost us both $40 to go out and have a completely amazing evening, eating all the kind of food we wanted to eat, getting to experience all the fun of just having the joy of being together and getting to, you know, play on the slot machines a little bit and wander around in this beautiful town. And, you know, we were there for, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours, and we get in the car and we're driving back just kind of going, holy crap, that cost us $40. And we had the most amazing time, and it could have cost a whole lot more and it didn't. But the whole idea was because of the, again, what you align with, what you focus on, if you're into the journey and you're into the experience, you're creating in the process of that. And that creation adds to the experience. And so now, you know, what we might've left going, gosh, you know, we spent $160 tonight. That was a little intense. You know, we spent $40 and it was perfect for the budget. It was perfect for everything. Not that we would have harmed ourselves to begin with, but the idea that we could go out and have this amazing night, this kind of date night experience for ourselves, and be rewarded for it in a way, you know, just having this never ending flow of wonderful go on. That's the kind of stuff that the magic is made of. It's being aware and in the moment of everything that you were saying is then that journey is, you know, you're not just going to a show or you're not just going out to dinner. You're going to have an experience. So if you can align into that experience and you can really milk that experience and really enjoy it, the satisfaction levels are crazy good. And so it makes you look for the next time and the next time and the next time, because you're now no longer taking for granted what you're doing.
Right.
You're going, I'm engaged and this is going to be awesome and we're going to have a good time. And, you know, and that's the kind of life I want for anybody who hears this, who participates in this, because it's not only possible, as you said, it's already happening. You're just not looking in the right direction. It's already happening. It's just a perspective shift. It doesn't require a degree. It doesn't require 17,000 books. It doesn't require a master teacher. It just requires a change in perspective. Shift that focus and it changes everything. And you go, and I know I can hear people going, but how do you shift that focus? Why do you about it? That's all about doing the work. That's all about left foot, right foot, every day, stepping in, being willing to see it, being willing to engage it, and then being willing to experience it. Because that's where the money is, so to speak, is being in that experience, because the levels of feeling and satisfaction and awe and inspiration are so incredible that you can't help but go, yes, please, more of that. Yes, please, more of that. And just by virtue of that, you're creating more of that. Instead of the converse of, oh my God, the bills, and oh my God, this, and oh my God, that, and I don't have enough, and I don't want to know, you know. It's a perspective. So we are about at that juncture, I think. Do you want to bring us home today? Do you feel ready for a closing?
Yes, yes. just really inspired again, and just so much positive energy coming through as I feel that we're opening up. And from where you and I started in our podcasts of choosing a topic and maybe even getting a few notes together and kind of having some idea of an outline and an agenda and everything. I mean, we totally don't do that anymore. Nobody else knows that, but you and I, we show up, it's like, okay, what's going on in your life? And I'm like, okay, I think it's time to record. Or you say, oh, why aren't we? And then bam, here we go. And then all this, I mean, look, we're both like beaming right now with smiles on our faces. And, you know, because it just feels so amazing to have spirit just flow through us to be able to share information. And it doesn't mean that I've totally got it all figured out or you're totally living every moment of this exactly the way we're talking about it. Because we're students too at the same time. That's kind of what makes it so fun.
Yeah.
But it is fun to at least be able to share some personal experiences of, I've been able to live in bliss more lately than I did last year or 5 years ago. And
exactly.
Just wanting to be able to share that information. Today was just a really great example of how, you know, that nicely came together today with the combination of purpose and now. To me, those were the, if you had to pull this down to two words, we put those things together today, purpose and now.
Yep.
And bliss, if you want to throw a third one in there, that you can have bliss and know you're in your purpose if you're willing to do it now, not at the end of the race. And I was thinking just before you said, okay, it's about that time and let's pull it together. So much of the media, if you watch a Super Bowl, they will interview the winning team. Well, the Super Bowl was actually played by a bunch of players. The team that happened to win, somehow we think, had a better experience of the game than everybody playing the game. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's like the winning team is the only team that's worthy of interviewing what the experience was. If you're not winning, if you weren't the Super Bowl champion, you're not worthy of commenting on what your journey was to get there. Even though that other team got two more points at the end of the game, somehow their experience must have been so much more significant because they hold the trophy that we don't even want to talk to you because, you know, you didn't win.
Exactly.
Yes. Or it's just so frustrating, this constant message of you have to win in order to have the bliss.
Yes.
rather than I'm playing the game. Do you get it? I'm just the fact that I'm in the race, walking the walk, talking the talk, in the game, having the experience. That's what the bliss is.
Yep. And it's got to be the journey. You know, it's interesting. I have a fascination for competition reality shows like America's Got Talent and Britain's Got Talent, that kind of thing. And I saw on the show, there was a couple, a brother and sister, who do this roller skating thing. And it's an acrobatic thing. And they have this round stage and they're both on roller skates and they do all of this absolutely crazy, like mind blowing stuff that you're like, I mean, at one point she's only holding on to his beard while she's spinning in free air while he's spinning in a circle, holding her, not even holding her. He's like this, she's got the beard, she's this direction spinning while he's going around in a circle. Anyway, it's just extraordinary, but they did not win the show. They got eliminated. Like, I want to say, I think they made top 10, but I don't think they made top 5, but they so love what they do that as soon as they were done with the show, they were immediately picked up and booked in a show in Vegas. And the point of that is that they didn't win. They didn't get to the winner's seat. They showed up to the best of their ability and demonstrated an incredible talent that didn't win the competition, but now they're in Vegas working a show in Vegas, making buckets of money, living their dream, because they showed up, they took the steps, and they did win. Their win was different than the person who walked away with the trophy, but they had an enormous win and a win that serves them and who they are, where the win that the individual may have got the trophy was a different process. It was a different experience. But like you said, it's all the same show. You know, it's all the same company. But
right on, brother. Good work today. It's a pleasure working with you again.
Always. To enjoy the heck out of it and looking forward to our next gathering. And to all you people out in podcast land, we love you. We appreciate you. Check us out. Website. We have a great website, www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com. And we're on Facebook and Twitter and all those places and all the major platforms. And come check us out. And our YouTube page as well. If you'd like to see us, you can see us on YouTube. You can listen to us on our webpage. And thanks for joining us and have an amazing adventure today. Great talking to you. Thanks for diving in with us. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. If you would like to listen to more or to explore all our offerings, visit us on the web at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com. We also offer video versions of our podcast. Visit our page on YouTube at Adventures in Truth Podcast. We would love to hear from you. Like, connect, and follow with us on Facebook. Want to book us for your next podcast or to speak at your event? Head over to our webpage at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com at the bottom of the page and send us a note. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you again at Adventures in Truth Podcast.